Here's a little something you may remember from the good old days.
I feel so old.
You're old.
You're so old.
I'm so old.
So old.
We're so old.
You're old.
Ha ha! You're old.
Senior Moments crew with you here midweek and midway through the season. Brian Sexton, John Osier, Joe Fortunato, who still does not have a voice in this thing. At some point, you need to turn that microphone on and at least jump in here and say hello. He's waving, folks. Welcome in, Senior Moments. Lots to talk about. More than we possibly can, except that this football team, John, is now sitting in first place with the Titans, and they're not sneaking up on anyone anymore. Now, all of a sudden, people around the league have an idea who this team is.
Well, they're not a surprise anymore. They're not, you know, our little Jaguars that you don't. I mean, they probably still haven't gotten the national recognition that a lot of fans would want. But people in the league know who they are. I'll guarantee you the Chargers, who have beaten this team a lot in recent years, I imagine they're looking at film. And for the players out there who may not get it, the coach is saying, hey, this is not the Jaguars we've beaten a lot. And I guarantee you Philip Rivers is thinking that. This is an aggressive, good team that, by any measure, Brian, you're 5-3. You've had five blow. If people nationally didn't associate the Jaguars with losing in the past, I think they would easily look at this team and say five double-digit victories by 16 or more points, number one in the league in sacks, number one in the league in passing defense, number one in the league in rushing.
Number one in scoring defense.
Top 10 offense, top five defense, a bunch of guys who look like they're going to the Pro Bowl on defense, improving quarterback. You would be penciling these guys in as a favorite. Now, I think we're a long way from that, but they have to play that role now. They're good.
Not necessarily a favorite for the Super Bowl, but they're going to be favored in a lot of the games from here on out. Chargers, Browns, I don't know about the Cardinals yet, but they're playing with Drew Stanton, so I would imagine they might be. The Colts, the Seahawks come across the country. Who knows where they will be at that point? Right? I mean, you could see them being favored in seven of the final eight games.
Yeah, they got to walk a little taller. There's a different thing to, you know, it felt the other day like when they were playing the Bengals, they still had a little bit maybe manufactured chip on their shoulder stuff. And I think it was easy to get because of the comments about Blake, what happened with Jalen. You know, you were on the sidelines, so you probably know better. But it just felt like it was still the Jaguars still felt like the kid who were trying to prove themselves to the big brother, so to speak. A little bit of that.
There's no doubt.
Now, I don't know how much more you're going to have that because this is turning into a team that's good.
Well, I want to tell you that I think that Tom Coughlin's statement yesterday about Jalen Ramsey, I think that plays into
absolutely
the us against the world mentality.
The longer you can hold that, the better.
And people who don't know Tom don't realize that he's not above doing that.
Oh,
he's
no
not. He will do that in a heartbeat. And I imagine that those players in there, when they read that, their chest bowed up a little bit. You got it. It's us against the rest of the league, and we got the guy in the corner with the rings, Hall of Fame future. He's behind us now. Now we're going to go out and play just like we did last week because our guy's behind us.
I thought it was a masterstroke.
I did too.
I don't – knowing players – I don't know that all 60 guys read it and then they had a meeting and said, we love Tom.
I think there's four or five of them in there, though, that'll take it and say, did you see this?
Yeah. And again, it won't be their overriding motivation, you know, but it'll be a thing where if they had any doubt, if the, quote, old man supported him, you know, there's no doubt. And Tom probably doesn't get a chance to talk to the players as much as he did as a head coach, obviously. So I think it was his way of saying, hey, I'm behind you. This whole organization's behind you. Jalen, we have your back. I thought there was nothing negative to it at all.
So let me share something that I witnessed with you from the sidelines that I don't know if you could see from the press box or feel in the locker room afterwards. So as Jalen was leaving the field, there was this simmering anger amongst the defense, right? Some of it was at A.J. Green for the obvious, but the rest of it was they're throwing our guy out. They came out in the second half and were a buzzsaw. I mean, if they were in the first half, then it was a lumber mill saw and 16 total yards in the second half. They took apart the Bengals. Their intensity level from Telvin to Sean Gibson, who made a couple of big hits in the second half, to the guys up front, it was at a completely different, nearly scary level for an offensive line and for a quarterback to play at. And that's the thing about this.
Yes.
There's growth in that unit, and they're playing at a high level already.
Well, it's you get to the point sometimes where when you're seeing a team grow and you're so close to it that maybe you're missing the big picture. And I thought about it in the last couple of days as I was just sort of trying to figure out what I was going to write this week. You wonder how good they can be, because right now they're good defensively. But in the last two or three games, really since the Colts game, even sort of before then, Steelers, when you see them midweek, you see them in the locker room, and I have this image in my mind of a Miles Jack sort of skipping through the locker room one day on his way out to a meeting. And the same bunch of guys, Miles and sort of the group he's around, just giddy on Thursday and Friday in the locker room, teasing one another, giving each other crap, et cetera, et cetera. But they really like playing together. And there's a young feeling of excitement and of just enjoying what they're doing. And I mention that because it all sort of feels like it's feeding on themselves that these guys really like each other. They're having fun. And you wonder how much that can grow. It feels like this thing's just sort of starting. If they've only known they're good, if you think about it. They thought they were good in training camp, but they didn't know, and they hadn't played yet. The secondary hadn't been out there. And you get the feeling of week one, dominate, lose, win, et cetera, et cetera. And now all of a sudden they're figuring out, we can do this all the time, and this is a lot of fun.
Well, so midway through the season, I look at some of the best teams in the league. I just grabbed, you know, NFL.com's power rankings for whatever, it's subjective as they might be. But, you know, you have a Rams team that most people think is one of the two or three best teams in the league, right? Mm-hmm. They put up 51 last week. They put up 40 over the Cardinals when they were in London.
One touchdown against this team.
One touchdown.
And on offense.
If it weren't for the punt return, the block punt, and the shanked, I'm sorry, the kickoff return, the block punt, and the shanked punt, which directly led to 17 points, you're talking about this team having beaten a team that most people think is the best team in the league right now.
And really allowed one good touchdown drive the Rams had.
That's it.
Aside from that, not.
So, and the Steelers, another team that most people have amongst the top five in these subjective rankings, the Jaguars didn't let them score a touchdown and intercepted Ben Roethlisberger five times. So it brings me to this question that I ask myself, is there a team in this game that the Jaguars couldn't beat?
Absolutely not.
No.
Right.
No, absolutely not. You could match them up. There's not a matchup that you say, we don't like that. Now, Tom Brady is terrific.
I don't like that.
Well, okay. Most people don't.
Right.
But their defense in New England isn't very good at all.
Right.
So maybe it's a better matchup than it has been. But the Eagles, the Saints, these other teams that are surging, the Vikings, there's not a matchup there that you say, that's bad.
Yeah. You know, I would couch that by saying at some point to get there, you're probably going to have to win three or four in a row.
Right.
I look at this team and there's still inconsistencies in places where it's hard to pick them to win four in a row.
Well, I'm not saying they've arrived.
But one game.
Right.
And that's what you got to do in the playoffs. You got to win
it.
One at a time. And
I'm not trying to suggest to you that they've arrived and they belong in that. But they're on the cusp of it.
Absolutely.
In other words, they're proving week in and week out with the double-digit victories and what they're doing on defense and the way that Blake Bortles is playing mm-hmm. right now. And we've got to focus some attention on him. But the reality of it is that if this team stays healthy, which they have done for the most part, A-Rob aside, they can line up and play on any given Sunday with anyone in this league. And how long has it been since we've said that?
You tell me, because I've never said it since I've been back.
I'm not sure we've said it. I don't think we said it in 2007, which
right.
was the last playoff team. We didn't in 5, which was the playoff team previous to that. 99.
Right.
99, you knew they could line
My
up.
My perception
play.
From a distance, you know, I observed the Jaguars teams in 05, 07, 06, was that on a given day, they could obviously go beat a team like the Colts.
Right.
The perception of them at the time was that they would have trouble doing that week to week to week because they had an up and down feel. Now this team's had that before, but there's something about this defense, Brian. You always had the feeling during those first 8 games of this season that, and I said it many times, don't say that the defense is playing inconsistently. You know, don't lump that group into the up and down feel, because they've been consistent since week one. I mean, they've, for the most part, a half against the Titans, a couple of plays against the Jets. Well, in this league, if you can point to a half and a couple of plays, well, that stuff happens. This has been a remarkably consistent defense that has played the same way, with the same intensity, to a degree that, you know, it's up there. I have a tough time seeing – I don't cover all 32. I don't know that there's any defenses that have played consistently week in and week out with the fury and the effectiveness that this team has for 8 games.
Well, the numbers say there hasn't been in a decade, but we can save that, you know, see how they do down the line. Speaking of consistency, 2 weeks, 2 games in the last 3 weeks, Blake Bortles has looked like a quarterback that you can win with.
Yeah. I'm not
sure that either one of us was willing to say that after the Titans game in week two.
Decision making. I thought he was good against the Colts. I thought the game Sunday against the Bengals was hands down the best game he's ever had. Yeah. And much better than everybody always throws out 2015. He did it Sunday when it mattered. He did it Sunday. That game ended up 16 points. But when he was doing his best quarterbacking the other day, the best third down decision making, accuracy, right decision before, during the play, it was a close game where a lot of those third downs he converted, if he hadn't converted them, it's a 6-point game where Cincinnati can go score. There were some pressure clutch plays, and he made them. Again, I keep going back to 3 times in the last 6 games. He's played as well as I've ever seen him play. You wonder if that can continue.
9 of 11 at one point on third down, and there were a couple of throws, one on the move on third and 7 in the fourth quarter. Game was out of hand by then. It was long since decided because of the defense, but the quality of the throw was remarkable, and it engaged that 8-minute and 33-second drive to the point that the Bengals couldn't even get the ball back. And allowed the defense to just stand there with their helmets in hand and enjoy the fact that they were only playing 37 snaps. 35, really, because two of those were Bengals kneel downs at the end. 35 snaps.
That's absurd.
Are you kidding? What they do and what they're doing this year is absurd.
Yep.
It really is.
And it's not like they've done it against awful. I get that the Bengals are struggling a little bit, but there's talent on that team, Pittsburgh, et cetera, et cetera.
They haven't played the Browns, and they don't see the Niners till Christmas Eve.
What you wonder about Blake is this decision-making. It's been so good the last couple of games that you wonder if he's starting to get it in a Nathaniel Hackett's offense. And I know they believe that he's starting to get that and starting to get what his decision-making is supposed to be within it. It will be very interesting to me to see if he can continue the third down check to the right receiver stuff that he has done in the last 2 games, because that's what, to me, he couldn't do in 2015 that separated that year from being a truly good year. He's doing it now, and that's big stuff. That's big time stuff.
All right, so Sunday, it's almost trite to say, boy, this is a really big game. It is, because you're in a first place tie with the Titans, And I contend that this is a really, really big game, because the Titans have the Bengals, so you assume that they're going to beat that Bengals team that we saw last week. If that Bengals team shows up, they're 6-3. Then they have a Thursday night game in Pittsburgh, who they have not played. You've played some tougher games on the common schedule already, and you go to the Browns. So it seems to me like you get this one, then you have a shot to go up a game the week after, because they face, now they can go win in Pittsburgh, but short week in Pittsburgh, the way the Steelers are playing right now, seems like it puts more onus on this game.
There are people, for some reason, in the fan base, the observer world, who tend to discount Tennessee, and I don't understand it. To me, Tennessee is extremely dangerous for a couple reasons. Like you said, they play the same schedule, essentially, in the Jaguars. There's a couple mixed in there. But they also have a home game against the Jags at the end of the season.
Yeah.
Jags need to get 2 ahead at some point or win that game. Now, I don't know what the tiebreaker – it's too early to know the tiebreaker there. But doesn't it feel like, Brian, that they need some going to do – they need to get some space, or they're going to have to win that game at the end of the season? No matter how good you're playing, going and winning in that house with the division on the line, if that's what it is big. So the Jaguars have been winning. They need to run off some games in a row now and try to get some distance.
Well, when you look at the Titans' schedule – you know, they have the the Thursday game in Pittsburgh, and then they get the Colts and the Texans right behind you. Mm-hmm. So when I look at the schedules, and football people won't agree with this at all, but when you look at the schedule, they still have the Steelers and they have the Rams, right?
Yeah.
You have the Seahawks, and then they each have each other, obviously, right?
This team also goes to Arizona, which is a tough...
And they have the Cardinals as well, but Drew Stanton, it's not like you're going to face Carson Palmer and David Johnson mm-hmm. and Calais Campbell, right?
Right.
I'm looking at games that I think are those pivotal games, and they've got, I think they've got one more than you do, so you have to take advantage.
Yep.
Home games in particular, you've got to take advantage of it, and that means this week they have got to play lights out against Phillip Rivers.
Yep, and I've said it all week, this has been a nemesis team. For the Jaguars, Phillip Rivers has been maybe the nemesis player. I think observers are going to have a monkey on their back feel for this game. I'm interested when we go talk to players in a little while if they feel that as well, because I'm not sure they're going to.
Oh, I don't think they do at all.
I think they think that they should be able to rush this guy, beat him. I don't think they're scared of Phillip Rivers.
Calais Campbell, Marcel Darius.
Yeah, they've never experienced
that. No, they weren't here.
So, I think this is a different bunch of cats that Rivers is playing this week.
All right. So we'll leave it on that. A different bunch of cats.
Different bunch of cats, dude.
With the claws out.
Am I hip?
I don't know. Did you use the word lit?
I will in the next.
Here's another one.
Moments.
What does fleeky mean?
I have no
idea. Do you know?
I'll Google it.
The other day when we did drive time, I used the word lit. And it was, I guess it's a word my kids use. And someone afterwards said to me, why don't mix fleeky in? And I went, what's that?
Yeah, that's way too young
for me. Define fleeky for me. They said, well, it's the state of fleekiness. And I said, if I go on Merriam-Webster's.com,
right.
Am I going to find that word? They said, wrong bitch.
Well, you're playing at a new level of cool for me, baby.
Feeling fleeky, we will sign off for Joe Fortunato and John Osier. Brian Sexton here. Senior Moments, we're fleeky out.